hit location or check in, and you know how to do it, guys. And then just say something of faith, like, you're invited next week, or, you know, we use our phones for so many things, you know, the texting, and sometimes you nobody fight texts here, we're all Christians, right? But do something of faith today, or check in, or you can do that on whatever social platform that you're on, and that'll be a blessing. Someone needs to hear this. Also, the message is being taped through Facebook, so if you could share that, someone needs to hear a good word, I believe, amen, today, and they need to hear a message of hope. And so why don't you share that on your Facebook, too, and multiply the message of what God's doing, and that'll help us as we spread the message of God's love, amen. Welcome to Living Faith Church. We're faith that you can see. Thank God for it. We're people that Living Faith gathers. We grow and go, and thank God for it. We're growing, and God is blessing us. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience officially. Come on. Yeah, thank you that you've joined us. And if you came to Living Faith Church and you're here for the very first time, we want to even give you a bigger welcome. Amen. If they came for the very first time, come on, give them a good welcome. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, you came. It smells good out there. Our ladies of faith are going to do some good food today, I think. Amen. Us guys, we'll go eat somewhere else, right, everybody? Been wanting to try that Who Hut down that 151. I might do some stir fry today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for stir fry as y'all eat here. Amen. Give me a good amen. So good things. I'm starting a new series that you can look at me with it, and it's in the book of Proverbs. Do you have your message notes handy, by the way? We kind of had a little bit of a glitch, but it wasn't. It's just people kind of trying to take care of us, and they mean well, but what you're going to need. You're going to get some extra notes at the very beginning. Don't get confused. Hit your neighbor and say, don't get confused. Don't worry. It's going to come about, and you'll just hang on, and you'll see it. It's bullet pointed right, but these are extra notes at the very beginning that you can see. And if I could see the first slide, that'll help me out to keep me on track today. And so we're learning about successful life, getting together, and what God will do over the long haul. We can be successful in bursts, or you were successful when you were, you know, younger. Now, God wants you to be successful your whole life, even in retirement. Amen? And so even as a young person, you can be successful. You say, well, no, if you get the right person speaking into your life, even as a young person, you can be successful. So I need wisdom in every area of my life, and my spiritual life, my job, my finances, my friendships, my relationships. I need wisdom in my married life, just like you do today. And so I invite you to take a journey with me to read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. Hit your neighbor and say 31. So 31 is good because it's the number of calendar days that are usually on every month. And so you can team up for those months that don't have 31 days and do a double one. But like, you could read Proverbs 19 with me this day, tonight. Not right now, but maybe tonight as a devotional, as a family, or as you do your devotions, along with your rest of your Bible reading. But tomorrow we read Proverbs 20. Let's stay on the track today as we do the series and just keep repeating that and doing that. You can read Proverbs a day, and they're so fulfilling. They're just real good to read every day. Amen. So God is a source of wisdom. Would you not doubt that? Yes? Amen. His wisdom is different than the world's knowledge. And so I want to learn to deposit that wisdom, because I'm with God, into my life for my living today. And so we want to get smart about that. Do you ever have somebody, we may not have God speak to us out loud, but he will speak to us through his word. But have you ever met greatness? Anybody ever have the opportunity just meeting maybe somebody that you've seen in the media, or you met a head of state, or just you're caught in maybe the greatest person you ever met, and you say something stupid? Because you don't know what to say, because it's so great. It's like the respect that you have, or that office. I've never been called into the White House Oval Office, but I think I'd probably buy a new suit if I got invited, because I respect the office so much. There's great, or the Queen of England, or the King of England, whatever. I would want to go and be there early, just like you would, and show respect to that place and that house. Probably the best story I have, since we just came back from Joel Osteen's church in Lakewood, was years ago I met John Osteen, the father, and I was an intern youth pastor, so I was like 20-something, real young, and he had his 75th birthday at Lakewood back at the old location, so I got to go because I happened to be in Houston during that time for like a little vacation from Cincinnati. I came to Houston, and so we got invited. All pastor could come, and he invited everybody, so there was like, you know, 100 pastors in this room about this size meeting him, John Osteen. They had this big cake for him. And so he was making the rounds. John Osteen was this guy, you know, about my size. Amen. Good things come in good packages. Give me a good amen, right? And so he was meeting everybody, and I was going, here he comes, here he comes. He's coming around. And he was going to, you know, shake my hand. And I said, what am I going to tell him? I don't want to be stupid or anything. And I was this young guy, 20-something. And he came to me, and I said something like, hi. And then he just looked at me, and he always had the smile, John Osteen, if you knew him, kind of like where Joel gets it, I guess, the apostle of happiness or whatever. And he said this to me. He gave me a word, man. John Osteen gave me a word. I got a word from John Osteen. I was ready for that word, man. I was going to get slayed by John Osteen. I said, give me a word, man. And I was saying, and he said this to me. He said, ah, they're getting younger all the time. And he kept shaking. And that's what he told me. And I said, I got a word from John Osteen. My buddy was with me, and he didn't get anything but a handshake, but he told me, they're getting younger all the time, man. And I received that word. Give me a good amen. Proverbs, when you're with God and we fear God, we respect God, we're in awe of God. He gives us something that Solomon wrote this, and he wrote 3 books. And this was probably his best book, but you can go back to that other one because I hadn't read it yet. Wisdom is supreme. That means that you go after it. It's the top shelf. We write the check. We bankrupt it because we want wisdom. It's what we need. Therefore, you get it. It may cost you, though it may cost you all, you get understanding. Right, everybody? Do whatever it takes to get wisdom. You know, knowledge constructed the Titanic, that big ship. But you know what? Wisdom would have avoided the iceberg. Yeah, well, knowledge builds a house. Well, we can make babies, and we can buy this mortgage, have this thing for 30 years mortgage. Knowledge can build that, but wisdom builds a home. Right, everybody? Yeah. Knowledge understands God. Well, I know the Bible. You have a big brain, and you know but a big God, wisdom walks with God. That's transcendent. Right, everybody? God is all-knowing. I love what Billy Graham said, and he said this, it's on the big, knowledge is horizontal, it's this way, yeah, we get some smarts here, book smarts and street smarts, and we get smart, but wisdom is vertical, it comes down from above, and thank God for heaven coming down as James, the Proverbs of the New Testament. We want to connect with God, not correct God, and we've gotten it in our culture, and I'll speak at that in a moment, where if it's not going well with you, and it won't go well with you if you correct God. God is not to be corrected because he's God. There's no safer condition in your life and my life for us to say, you know what, God, I'm not going to become self-trusting in my own life. I'm not going to have knowledge so much in my life that I don't need anything else, God. I need you in my life daily. I need you in my life. You're my hope. A driving force should be that we're going to God every day because we need his wisdom in our lives as parents, as married, as people that are living for God today because we need God today in our lives. We need him. As the air that I breathe right now, I need God for every breath that I take. And Proverbs 26:12 on the big screen, not in your note. Again, I'm giving you some extra notes. You don't need to jot them all down. Just hear the word of the Lord. Do you see a man that's wise in his own eyes? I got it together. I don't need anybody else. I was raised, and, you know, now I know everything because, you know, no. There is more hope for a fool than him. And that's somebody. I hope it goes well for you. But according to Proverbs, it's not if you have that sort of attitude. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs deal with the case for wisdom. Men of God in this room, man of faith in this room, I want you to read this week with me 5-7, 5, 6, and 7, chapters 5, because it deals with that man that is led by his eye gate, by feeling, and he's led like a sheep is to a slaughter, basically, and he walks in blindedly because he's ruled by his eye gate and by his flesh, and the Proverbs just gives some wonderful instruction to every man in this room today. Every line of Proverbs, what I like about it, is a different topic. And so it will give you like a little saying, boom, boom, boom. And they're just so enjoyable to read, and you can have that in their standalone sayings today, amen? There are 4 different types of people. Somebody say 4. 4. that are mentioned in Proverbs. And so these are the extra notes that I give you, and they're at the forefront, and don't worry about them. They're going to be good. And so these are the different types of people in Proverbs. You'll notice them all throughout Proverbs. The first one that we're going to speak about is the simple. Somebody say the simple. And it's not that this person's not wise because he's simple, he's a simpleton. It's because nobody taught him. Nobody taught her. And he instructed them, you know, don't do that. They're not submitted to be instructed. Young people in this room today, you need to trust your godly parents. And I emphasize godly. If they're acting like God, then go to them, lean to them. And nobody's perfect. I can have a big disclaimer, including the novice here. Irma and I aren't always perfect, but we do trust God and we rely on God, just like many of you here with me today. And we want godly, we need to be godly so we can instruct our children to be godly, right, everybody? If your parent is not godly, then go to an elder in this church. Go to a leader in this church that's full of God and trust that leader for advice, because they're simple in all of us, right, everybody? I've even seen some simple, mature people, right? And that, well, I'm simple, you know, I look at the way I dress. No, it's not that. The simple of understanding and wisdom today. Proverbs 7:7 on the big screen says this: I saw the simple. And there's a little simple. Amen. Y'all are blessing me. Thank you, Jesus. I saw the simple. A little simple in all of us, right, everybody? I noticed, it says, among the young men, a youth who had no. Now, that's my son. You're saying, that's my daughter. Amen. Now, this isn't stupidity. It's just somebody being naive or somebody being inexperienced. And, you didn't know any better. And this is where we say, no, don't do that, son. Or don't do that, person, right now. This is not the way. Watch out. I heard this song that the prophet, the philosopher, that the psalmist of this day wrote, and I put it on the big screen for you. Taylor Swift said this, which is incredible. Says, when you're 15, somebody tells you that they love you, you're going to believe them. And isn't that true? Because when you're 15 and you meet that somebody that has, as a girl like Taylor, it has the hairy legs, and he says, I love you, you're going to believe him if you're 15. And that's where a mama would come in of faith, and that's where a daddy would come in and protect a daughter. Give me a good amen. Amen. I was a late bloomer, so when I said this, I wasn't 15, I was 18 with that girl, and I was telling her that because I really didn't love her. I loved that, but I didn't love her. Do you understand that today? I told her that so I could get that, and I could do a rated R sermon, but we already did our marriage series. Give me a good amen. Are you with me this morning today? I'm glad Irma left the room. Amen. I was a Christian when I was 18, but I wasn't a practicing Christian. Give me a good amen. I needed Jesus in my relationship, especially with that first girlfriend. Give me a good. So the longer I live, I'll get wisdom, Pastor. Not necessarily. That's why a small group is real important for your life today. See, you can do church here at Living Faith, but that's why you should do a small group. Because in a small group, you get to have covenant relationships come about in your life. I told you about my small group for many years now, the pastor's group that I've been part of for almost 20 years, and I'm still young. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so when I started going to the small group with the pastors, I got to know them. I've known four of the men the 20 years that are the main guys. Now there's like 20 guys. We've grown, and it's good. We don't invite the whole city because not all pastors want to be part of that group. But I want to be part of it because they've saved my marriage. Those men have saved my brothers have saved my marriage, literally, because of advice. Or watch it, Mario. Be careful. Because I hear you. They don't call me out in front of the group. It's usually a phone call, a lunch, or something like that. Because they're my brothers. They have my back. They saved this church because of conflict and things that happen. Because we've saved each other's churches. Said, you know what, man? I went through that, and this is the wisdom that I got from it. We don't know it all, but we need each other. And that's why a small group in your life, you need a small group of covenant people that will tell you the truth in love, and they'll speak it, because many of us are simple, like I am, and we need God's help, right, everybody? Amen? Amen. And so what's the cure for small for the simple? I believe the cure is this. The cure is time. Somebody say time. You can say time. And that's going to happen. Amen. Go to the wise. Let an elder speak into your life that's done it, bought the t-shirt and wore it. Amen. I've noticed when I bike ride, if I go by myself, I have a speed, an app thing. I can go maybe 11 miles per hour. I'm kind of showing off here. 12 if I'm really pushing it. And I, you know, take a route. But I've noticed when I go with somebody and I think, this guy, he's not going to go as fast as me. And we're not going to, you know, I'm going to kind of beat him. You know, we ride together. So I hope he just doesn't wreck in front of me and I fall over him. But we're following each other. And so I notice I go further and I go faster when I have somebody with me. The other day, Irma and I, Sunday night, we went after church, and it was Sunday after church, and I went with Irma, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have to help this girl, you know, go, I'm glad she's not in church right now. Amen. Can we get amen? But you know what? We went further, and we went faster because she was with me, and we paced each other, and it was just a good, good ride that day. In life, it's that way, isn't it? You can't walk alone. You need people in your life. Because you'll go further and you'll go faster. You'll do it better if you do it with people. No one's called to be alone. Give me a good amen. Amen. The second person that they speak of in Proverbs, again, not in your notes, extra notes for the real spiritual people, the people that love Jesus, is the fool. The fool is, you know what, he knows what to do, but he won't do it. And he just won't do it. And the label says it's bad for me. If I put this into my body, it's going to alter my senses. But I'm going to chug, and I'm going to keep doing it. And you wind up in a car accident because you were a fool. The label says it's bad when you puff it and you do it, but you still do it. And it can cause cancers in your life, but you take it anyway. That describes a what? A fool. You say that really convicted today. Proverbs said 10:23, the fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. And it's fun for a season, but you know what happens with sin? It knocks on the door and says, I'm coming to collect now. It's time. And it will bite you. There's nothing more scarier to me or more than when I raised my children and still raise them. If all the godly upbringing that I brought them into, if they start hanging with a fool. And so we've been bold enough, not all the time, but saying, hey, that guy's a fool. You don't need to be with him. Come on, you're not going. You're not going to spend the night there. You're not going to be part of that today. No. He don't need to get your phone number and be calling because he's a fool. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so we're waiting till they're about 46 to finally release them of that. Give me a good amen. The choice of your companions will prove foolish, and you show me who you're hanging with, and I'll show you who you're becoming. Do you know that never ends, even when you're an adult? When you're an adult, the company that you keep, that's really who you're going to be eventually. You're going to hang people with conviction that love God, that have godly values. You're going to become that sort of person. You can have people that gossip, that backbite, that argue. You're going to become that person. Every person that I've had in my life that I did bad things, every leader that I've had in my life, they led me, the fool led me to my first drink, my first smoke, my first toke, through bad leadership, because I followed the fool. And y'all ain't with me this morning, but in the Bible, not on the big screen, hear me, it says this, Proverbs 13:20, Message Bible, become wise by walking with the wise. You hang with fools, watch your life fall to pieces. It's that Reese's Pieces, right, everybody? What's the cure for the fool? It's usually this, tragedy. Your brokenness, it's time to... See, I believe even God right now, on internet, in this audience right now, there's this tragedy that's... You're on your way. You're doing something foolish, but God is stopping, and he's even giving you this message right now from the Word of God. Stop. Warning. Will Robinson, stop. Respond to God's voice. So there's not redemption. God will do redemption. He loves to do it. But why not live that way? Like a crash test dummy. Going into the wall. Amen. We're going into the wall because we're that crash. God loves you and he'll restore you. But he doesn't want to have to do crash test dummy on you today. Amen. And restore you that way. Why not live with wisdom and seek God today? Right, everybody? I'm so thankful that all the times I've done something foolish, all the pain that I brought myself, God brought purpose even out of that. That's how much God loves you and I. God knows what we did this weekend, and He still accepts your worship. He knows all the stuff that you did that nobody else would accept, but He still accepts. Because if it was me and you were singing to me like that after I know you betrayed me and hurt me, I would say, man, don't even talk to me. But God's not that way, because He's not like Nava and He's not like you. He says, you know, those are my children. I still love them. They're going to make their way right today. Right, everybody? There's redemption for your life. That's why the Growing in Faith class in September, when it re-comes again, they have this thing that's like a personality test, a spiritual gift test, that if you take it, it shows you all that I went through had a redemption point in my life. That hurt, that abuse, it came about and it made me today. And you take that spiritual gift test and you see how you're made now to help other people. Right, everybody? The third person in Proverbs is the mocker. Somebody say mocker. This is the person on steroids, the fool that's on steroids. So it takes it to the next level. They have the gift of criticism, the spiritual gift of criticism. They're masters in social media because they troll social media. And they'll look at these posts and they're looking for conflict. And they're looking to hide behind their keyboard and to fire off this tweet. And so the Bible speaks about engaging the mocker and the scoffer. And it says, don't do it because you're not going to win. Look what it says in Proverbs 9:7 on the big screen. Whomever corrects a mocker invites what? Have you ever seen those guys on the split screen that are pro and con, or they're this, the red and the blue and the Democrat, Republic? I'm just going to call it out. And they're arguing their point. They're saying, well, this is why we're this, and this is why we're coming. And they're fighting. Do you ever see those split screen ever agree? Like, oh, I get it. You know what? I was wrong, and you were right. I'm going to come to my senses, and I'm glad you were on the other side of that screen, and you told me. Do you ever see that? No, they continue to fight, even when they're off the air. Do you ever see that you're not going to convince that person that's fighting with you on social media and gave you a jab? Don't even engage it. You think you're going to convince them? Because the Bible continues to say, whomever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or they will what? That's why you don't fight with even different religious cults, because they're trained to get off. They get off on arguing with you. Yeah. Mockers are going to have their own way, and even when they're told, they get corrected. They hate you. A fool will even become more foolish if you know because of what they're becoming. They become greater fools when they reject the truth today. They live for debate, and the only way that you can cure a mocker is this one. The cure is, somebody say, God. Yeah, God. The wise is number four. Here we go. We're almost finished with the ones that are extra note. The wise is this. It's not that they're smarter, because how many have seen smarter people do dumb things? Smart people, yeah. They're in handcuffs. They had a good lawyer. They had the best lawyer that money could. They're still going to jail. They did something stupid, right? It doesn't, you know, you can know Bible. You can know the Genesis all the way to the maps and still not have much knowledge or little wisdom, because all you do is have that head knowledge today. And the Bible instructs us in Proverbs 9:9, instruct the wise and they will become wiser. Teach the righteous and they will add to their. You live, learn, and you learn and live long and prosper. Thank you, the Apostle Spock. Amen. Said that today. You benefit from the wisdom's invitation today. You have a teachable spirit. You didn't get that, some of you. We'll learn about next week as we go back to school, the teachable person and how they keep learning. They're a lifelong learner. We don't have an independent spirit. No one's going to teach me. No one's going to tell me how to do that. You know, you have a center. If it ain't about me and if I'm at the center, I ain't going to be it. No, you learn. You be part. Amen. Get teachable. Don't have an independent spirit. I love what I heard about wisdom, and I copied it and I put it on the big screen again. Extra notes: correct a fool, and they will ignore you. Correct a mocker, and according to the Bible, they will hate you. Correct the wise, man, they're going to thank you. Thank you that you spoke that into my life, and the way you did it, and the way you lived, and your example. You did it the right way, and I have so much. You thank somebody like that. You got God advice today. Amen. I I sat with leaders last week from this church, and one leader said this. He said, you know what? They pointed out two of the brothers. I thought, kind of bold, but, you know, they're bold. And they said, you know what? I'm so thankful that brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so came back to church. They came back to our church, and they were there, and they were nodding, and they were part of the family. And one thing I've noticed about people that return back to a church is this. They come back to a church because they know that they're going to still be loved. And that shows a lot about Living Faith Church. We may not be a perfect church, and we're not, by many, we're not. But I know that people love people here at this church. And it takes a big step if you've been gone for months or years to come back in, because you don't know the reaction, but people still love you. And you, I think you know that. That's why you return. The second thing is this, that there's something about wisdom and being planted in a church. If I could just be part, if I could just get there, God would bless my life. There's just the second thing about wisdom of coming back is just that you come back and you plant yourself and you're part of a church family, because it will give you wisdom how to live. I know I need God in my life, and that's why brothers and sisters return, because it's the way God works. He wants to plant you in the house of God today. There's a list of things that we really should fear. You know about them, those phobias, right, that we have. And some of them aren't really true. Some of them are kind of, you know, there's this movie that I saw in the 80s, and some of y'all are going to have to go back and Google it, but it was called The Fly. And there's a line in it that says, be afraid, be very afraid. Be afraid, be very afraid. In my Jeff Goldblum voice, be very afraid, you know. And some examples of being afraid are you afraid to fly? Anybody in this room afraid to fly? You can be honest. Amen. Yeah, maybe. There's a 0.0001% chance of dying in an airplane crash. On the other hand, car insurance, thank God you got it, because you'll be involved according to what the insurance, and that's why they bank on you and that you have to pay them, amen, to about 3 or 4 car crashes in your lifetime. The odds of you dying in a car crash are 1 to 2%. That's why, Lord, give us traveling mercies on the way home, right, everybody? Are you afraid of heights? Well, you know, you can go to the highest place and, you know, you think I'm going to fall or jump or somebody's going to push me off. That's 1 in 65,000 that's going to really happen, that you'll fall off the Grand Canyon or whatever. The chance of having your identity stolen, though, that's like 1 in 200. And you know that when you get that credit, that check debit in your, and they stop your card because somebody's using it at Academy to buy a bicycle. Come on, how did they do that? Are you afraid of being killed by a lightning bolt? The odds are 1 in 23 million that will happen to you. But being struck by a meteorite, there's a lifetime odd of 1 in 700,000. So that's a little bit better. How about dogs? That dog chased you when you were a kid and you're still scared of it. It's a chihuahua, but you're still scared of it, right? The chance of you suffering a dog bite is 1 in 137,000. On the other hand, if you mow your lawn, it's 1 in 4,000. So you guys have been hit by the rock, amen. That's why you ended up in Texas Med Clinic, right? How about a shark? It was Shark Week on the channel here recently. Being killed by a shark, it's like very minimal of being killed by a shark, but you being killed by your spouse, that's 135,000, amen. There's a chance that you might be killed by your spouse more than a shark. That's 1 in 3 million, right? Don't look at them that way, that you're preparing that for them at night, right, everybody? Why don't you drink a little bit of this, amen? She's slowly killing you, amen. No. How about a roller coaster? You won't ride a roller coaster because you're impatient, but if you're scared of a roller coaster, it's like 1 in 3 million that roller coaster is going to fly off the track. But I'll be the one, and you know what I mean? Playing with fireworks on the 4th of July is more dangerous. There's a chance in 1 in 120,000 that you'll get a firework blown up in your hand today. So there's many more things that we're really not afraid of, that we're afraid of, but we shouldn't be afraid of, because there's other odds against you. Do you understand that today? Why not fear God? Not that you're spooked of him, but fear God because you respect him. Amen. Because you're in awe of him. Because God is so awesome. Because God is so holy. And God is so right. And you're not today. Yeah. And that guy said, man, quit staring at me, Pastor. So I'm going to look at the clock. Amen. Just stare at everybody. Amen. I remember when I feared God a few years ago. God got my attention. I was coming into Living Faith Church 9 a.m. service, and I was going to preach like I usually preach. I had everything ready. My PowerPoint was ready. My sermon intro was ready. My notes were ready. I'd prepared the night before like I always do. I prepared the day before. All week long, I'd prepared. And I was ready. And all of a sudden, I started getting dizzy, real bad vertigo. And I was right there to the point I had to sit down. I turned to Jamie because she was our admin at the moment, and I said, "I'm dizzy." And she said, "Sit down!" And you know when Jamie screams at you, you sit down. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I sat down, and I was still dizzy. Link came up to me and said, "Are you going to be okay?" Because he knew something was wrong because he never sees me sit down. He's watching me first service. And I said, "I'm dizzy, and you know, I just didn't know what to do." And then I started getting that dizzy where you're going to vomit, you're going to hurl. And I didn't want to hurl right there because, you know, we're a new church and we're going to stain the place. And when you, so I started walking out, and I got to that last seat where you are, Maria, and I went. Sly Reed was there, big man. I went into Sly, and he caught me because I was about to go, you know, over, and he caught me. And I said, "I got to throw up." And he took me to the restroom, and boy, the banana that I ate, and the two bananas, you know, it doesn't get pretty, amen. And I sat there on the throne with four guys around me praying and watching me hurled. Then the dry heaves came, and Alex Copeland came, thank God, one of our nurses here at our congregation. And he just said, "Pastor, you need to get to the emergency room. You're not well, and we'll take care of service." And Howard did a wonderful job, and I can probably, the worship team worshiped for like an hour, you know, and then something else happened, second service. But I remember the funny thing about fearing God was one of the guys that was got in there, one of my covenant brothers, they got in there, and they began to cuss. I mean, you know, they were cussing not at me, they were cussing at the devil, but they were using the F-bomb and all this in our church, right? In the restroom. And they were like, "You," and I was like, "Yeah, he's that. Yeah, the devil's that. Amen. He really is that." But I didn't get well, and I couldn't stand up, and I couldn't get back. And I wanted so desperately to come and you know, get into the ring again. But I had to sit, and I had to go to the, Irma took me to the emergency room that day. And you talk about fearing God, not in the wrong way, but God, if I didn't have the next breath right now because of you, God, I'm breathing right now. Because of you, you've given me the ability to stand. Oh, I fear you, God. And that's what sort of healthy respect that we need from God to God the Father. As we worship, as we take our next step, that you ain't all that. You can sit down. You can sit down. You'll be in a bed before you know it. Do you understand? And oh, how I need God today, and how you need God, and how we don't look past every even second. You have an ability, and you're talented, and you're gifted, but don't forget where you got that from. Amen. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. The first thing that you should do is receive Christ as your Savior. The first, God, and even if you're a Christian, remind yourself that God, you're it. I'm not, and I need you today. And you'll get real smart after that, right? It's where it all begins. Oh, somebody ought to bless the Lord. Lord, we worship you in this house. We thank you, God. If it hadn't been for my God, where would I be? What would I be doing? Humility, God loves all that. He gets on that. And that's wisdom too, isn't it, church? In Proverbs 9:10, it says this, the fear of the Lord. I'm scared of you. You know, he's going to hit me with a bat. No, you respect God because he's much bigger than you. He's much better. Is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In the Old Testament, there was like this, not that God was to be feared, but he was to be respected so much, almost like the head of the family. We respect mama, we respect dad, and they're the head. There's this holy fear in the New Testament that Ananias and Sapphira selling the piece of land and keeping it away from the apostles and kind of saying, "Hey, we did all that, but they only gave a little bit." But God didn't want their money, he wanted their heart. And they said, "You know, we fooled them," and no, they ended up dropping dead. And there's a holy respect, listen to me, about God and carelessness that we walk in and we try to think we're better. And God, no, there's a reason to repent right now. And you need to repent. Amen. Have a healthy view of God, that the wrong view of God, that God is going to kill me, God's out to get me, God's out to blast me. The healthy view of God is that God loves you. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love and God of new beginnings today, right? Amen. I speak about the church that I was part of as a child, and every week, man, my pastor would preach the hell out of me. He would preach and preach hard, man. And I would almost be like, please let me leave so I can go pray because I'm so unholy. And every week he would ask for people to come to Jesus. And every week I would raise my hand because if I didn't, I was scared I was going to go to hell. And that was that sort of church. And I had this wrong view of God. And we did the best we could back then, but thank God that God is a God of love and acceptance. And the reason why we love God is because we obey God is because we love him. Not because we have to. God, I don't want to disappoint you because you've been so good to me. Amen. God hasn't been harsh to you. And if he had, you wouldn't be here. Amen. We'd be a grease spot right now in the ground, right? Yeah, there's nothing left of him. Amen. He thought too much of himself, or he kept playing around. And look where it got him. No, God gives you. He's relentless. He's faithful to you. He gives you a thousand generations. Oh, how God is faithful to us, right? I have three I fear the Lord declarations that I want to make with you today. This is how we fear the Lord at this house. Number one is this. Somebody shout, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
Amen. A+, great church. Amen. He's big. He's great. He's amazing. Nothing is too difficult for God. And Lord, I will honor you because you're awesome today. You're big and you're mighty. I worship you because you're amazing. We've got this thought like, how could Jonah be in a whale for 3 days? That's impossible. That can't happen. Of course it's impossible. It's not possible, but it's possible because God's awesome. How could a dead man rise that had been in the tomb for 3 days named Lazarus? How could that happen? That's not possible. It's possible because God is awesome. I don't need to explain that. How could a virgin named Mary have a baby? A virgin can't have a baby. It's possible because God is awesome. Amen. Right, everybody? And that I don't need to explain it. 3 million people crossing a Red Sea on dry land. That's impossible. It's possible because it's awesome. What can God do in your life that's possible today? Right, everybody? Psalms 33:8, you haven't had any fun all day. Let's read it out loud, not out soft. On three, 1, 2, 3, go. Let the whole world, let everyone stand in awe of him. There's been 20 years of miracles that this church has experienced. We're at year 20. Can you believe that, Howard? 20 years, man. 20 years, Sophie. And God still has more to do. And if you think that this guy's done it, or talented people, or no, we haven't done. God has done. That's where we look back into God. You're awesome. Look what you've done. Look what God has done in 20 years. Amen. Yeah, it's taken a little bit of time, but we got here. Give me a good amen. But we still got more to do. We're not going to give up, right, everybody? Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. How easy it is to believe in the infinite power of God. We're all saying amen. But how about when you get home and you got a bill you're looking at? Or you need a better job? Or your child's can you believe God for him meeting your personal need? Because he's the creator of the ends of the earth. Right, everybody? He's an everlasting God. He will not grow tired. We do. He will not grow weary. Man, I need to retire, right? No, not God. His understanding is no one can fathom it. The heart of God, amen, more of him deposited into my life. Listen to this. At the end of your life, it will be a sum total, if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, it will be a sum total of you hearing God, praying to God, your prayers to God, him answering you, and then you obeying him. Line after line, year after year, decade after decade, until we come back and eat potato salad in the fellowship hall after we buried you. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about how you obeyed God, how you prayed to God, and then how God heard your prayer, and it was the next chapter in your life, and then you walked out. What I've noticed about God is this, that when we pray and we don't do what he's telling us to do, God kind of says, hijito, mijita, Go ahead. He's like a good father. He's a good father. Yeah. I'm going to wait. He's already told you what to do. I've already told you to stop doing that. Bien terca. Bien terco. Stop. But you know what? I'm just going to wait. And that's going to, is that part of your history? And if it's been too long since you obeyed God, would you obey God? There's hope rising in this church right now. Something's happening spiritually right now, right now, right now. Not tomorrow, right now at this moment. And you can step into the realm of I'm going to obey you because faith is tangible. It's living faith. It's tangible. Say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. That thing that you told me to stop, that thing that you've given me the warning, that thing that you told me, it's going to be part of my history that I obeyed you this day. It's a mile marker in your life. And your life will be made up of obedience today, not a pause, not that you rejected God, but you're not foolish that way, that you say, God is awesome, and I heard him that day, and I'm moving on with God. Can you know that God is here at this moment? Amen. Would we celebrate right now the obedience right now that people are making, that I'm making? God, I'm going to obey you today. Yes, Lord. You're going to be awesome in my life. The second thought is this. God is holy. We have lights and the contemporary worship. If my church that I was part of as a kid were to see all this, they would say, God's not here. God ain't here because the way y'all turn down the lights and the way y'all do that and the way y'all have coffee and the way y'all have pan de dulce and the way y'all eat tacos in that kitchen. You ain't God in here. God in here. We're going to continue to reach people the best that we know how. I would love even a better coffee house. Amen. With bigger couches and, you know, one of those guys out there with an apron serving everybody. We have a vision to reach more people. We want to do that. Yeah, that's important. Maybe a smoke machine is too much right now. Give me a good amen. Walking in the smoke, amen. I went to a church as a little child, and they would take me in there, and y'all know that church because many of y'all went to it. And when I walked into that church, even as a child, I knew to behave. Because everybody was quiet. It wasn't you say, well, it was dead. It was, but I also knew that there was a little bit of reverence in there. And that reverence, it made me behave in church as a child. Nobody took any, I don't think anybody ever took that crying baby out there, amen, because I wasn't crying that day, amen. But there's this reverence about God that God is holy. Amen. Hey, the big man upstairs, no, that's God. Amen. Hey, catch me there later on, Lord. No, God is here. God is holy. We respect him. God, you know, God doesn't owe us anything today. In the Bible, it says in Psalms 99:5, somebody say that with me on three. Recite this verse with me. Here you go. 1, 2, 3. Exalt the Lord, our God. Bow low. You know what? You didn't have any fun the right way. Let's read it again. We're going to do it again on three. Here we go. I know why you didn't. On three. You can look at your message notes. 1, 2, 3, go. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low, for he is holy. In other words, magnify God. Make him big. He's bigger than you, right? You bow low and you get small. Amen. And God gets bigger today. I love the Hebrews in the New Testament. It says this, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. God, I'm banking on you today. I'm trusting you today. Amen. So worship God acceptedly with reverence and awe. Yeah, awesome God. He is a consuming fire. The grace of God gives us reverence and godly fear. The grace of God, the goodness of God gives me reverence and fear. And if you think that the grace of God and the goodness of God that's been paused in your life, that fire hasn't come, you know what? You don't have the right concept of God's grace. It doesn't give you a license to sin. You're saying, I'm walking in grace. You know, I get to do whatever I want. No, you got the wrong thing about grace. In fact, God is a consuming fire. And when you move from God's hand, you reject it off of your life, or you're not doing what he's telling you to do, God is a consuming fire. And you better respect it, amen. And you know what? Even you not sleeping good at night is part of that consuming fire. Amen. We worship God, amen, today. Since God is a consuming fire, we need to come to him on his own terms, not your terms today. Three is this. Finally, here we go. God is, somebody say, right. God's always right. And even God, when you don't seem to be doing it my way, God is still right. God, you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. God is still right. Because he's God. I see it, I see it this way, Lord. No, God sees it this way. God's always right. We live the truth out loud, not out soft. You don't need to be a jerk Christian or a weirdo Christian in culture, in your neighborhood, in your school, at your job place. But God is right. And you need to live the truth out loud, outright. Amen. Because God is right today, right? You know, our trend in culture is like almost like Satan. The very word he said as a snake, as that snake in Genesis, he said this, the very first words recorded from Satan's lips to somebody's ear, like our ears, he said, did God really say that? Did he say that? Yes, God said that. And he's right. And I need to listen to God because God said that. And we got into this thing, well, God suggested that. He doesn't know the culture that we live in, or that's not for my thing. No, God said that and God is right. I'm almost finished. I can see you almost wanting to leave. Don't leave until the final amen. Proverbs 19:23, New Living Translation on the big screen. The fear of the Lord leads to what? Bringing security and protection from every harm. Every covenant blocks a curse. Every covenant blocks a curse. I have noted in my life that the covenant in my marriage, I block a curse off my wife when I have the covenant of marriage. She blocks a curse off my life when she has my back and I have her back. Church members here, you protect your church. You love your church, so you block the curse. You're not going to talk about my church. You're not going to talk about my pastor that way. You're not going to talk about the church down the street. They love Jesus. They're people. They're winning people to Christ. So we block the curse. Every covenant can block a curse. Are you covenant people today? Amen. I know you talked about behind my back, man. You got my back, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's this thing about the Geek Squad. Remember them? They were Best Buy, and I don't know if there's a Best Buy around, but they're still around. If Best Buys are, but they would if your computer broke. If your phone broke or if your high screen plasma thing broke, they would want to come over in that little car and they would fix you, send a geek right over, and they'll get right over. And then they would say this, when you need the geek squad, call them, give them a call, they'll fix your problem, then they'll leave you alone and they'll leave in their little car and go back after they fix your problem. You know what I'm getting to? You ain't hearing what I'm saying. I think sometimes we want God to make everything right. God, come fix my problem. Get in your little car with your glasses and your tie and come over in white shirt. Come fix my problem, God. My son is not doing well. Come fix him, Lord. Come fix my marriage. Come fix my finances. Come fix my worry, my career. Come fix this, Lord. And then you know what happens is, God, after you're finished, would you go ahead and leave, get back in the car? Wouldn't we be foolish to live that way? See, God is right, and God wants to fix you right, and he wants to make things right. But we would be so foolish to make him leave our house, leave our heart today, leave our church today. We need God. We need God right now. It's the way God works. God, when you fix my problem, just stay, Lord, because there's going to be another one. Don't you know it, right? Yeah, fix me, Lord. That's why Psalms 19 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are what? Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to my eyes. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." Are you still with me? Amen. "The ordinance of the Lord are sure, altogether righteous. They're more precious than gold, more precious than pure gold." I love this part because of honey. I like to put it in my tea, and I like they are sweeter than honey, than the honey from the honeycomb. Amen. That cereal's good too, right, everybody? "By them your servants are warned, and keeping them there is great reward." Amen. The worship team is going to come back to the platform, and we're going to worship God in this moment and thank God for what he's doing. And I want to leave with this final saying that's on the screen that you have at the bottom of your notes, and you have them on Facebook on your notes today. And Get Smart One, I'm going to try to do one every sermon that's based on the Word of God. And it's this: would we declare together on three on the big screen or in your handout? Are y'all with me today? We're finishing strong today. One, two, three. When I understand what it means to fear God. When I understand what it means to fear God, I can live fearlessly. I don't know what you're up against today, but I can say this: God is bigger. He's bolder. God is badder. Amen. I mean bad back in the 70s, the 80s, the way we used to do that. God is awesome that way. See, God is awesome. God is more awesome. God is more right. God is more holy than you are. God, when you fear God, when I understand what it means to fear God, that God is awesome, God is holy, and God is right, I can live fearlessly. They gave you that diagnosis maybe this week, and thank God that they didn't. If they did, thank God, God is still bigger. God is more awesome. God is holy. God is right. He can fix it. Amen. If we believe. You have a situation going on in your relationship. God is still awesome. God is still big. God is still holy. God is still right. And I can live fearlessly. I can look at that and say, we're going to get through this today. Amen. We're going to seek God in this moment. And just thank God that He's with us today. Amen. We pray today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father, for the people of God praying today, seeking you at this very moment. We have this moment, Lord, and we'll never have it again. We have this moment to pray and seek your face, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this holy moment. It's time, Lord, that I declare that I need you, Lord, more than I've ever needed you before, that you're a God in my life today. As I pause and your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, maybe you know that you need God in your life because you've never had him in your life. Or he's far away from you. This isn't a moment to embarrass you, but it's a moment to bring you to the right place. And God is knocking, and God is giving you that warning. Maybe this is the warning that, look, you're here. Receive me as your Savior. Come to me. I'll save your life. I'll give you a purpose for all that pain that you experienced. There'll be a purpose. I'll redeem you today. And I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you right now, if Jesus is not your Savior, and if you've never said yes to Christ or you're far away from Him right now, receive Christ as your Savior today. I do that by simply saying, lift your hand slightly. You'll pray a prayer right where you're at today, and you'll receive Christ. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I need to receive Christ. I see your hand, my sister. See your hand over here. You can put it down, beloved. Somebody else, just making sure. Thank you, Jesus. Two of my sisters in Christ, they lifted their hand. They're already in relationship with Jesus. This is just a formal prayer that we pray when we sin. And we want to come close to Jesus. So my sisters right now that lifted their hand slightly, would you pray this prayer loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear? The rest of us that are sinners saved by grace, I pray it and you pray it with me today. The chief sinner prays it right now. I lead you in a prayer. Say it loud enough that you can hear it. Dear Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. You paid a price. Your own blood. A great debt that I owed. You paid it for me. Thank you, Jesus. You give me a new beginning. You give me new life. How could I not just want to follow you all the days of my life and do what you tell me to do? You saved my life from hell. You can make it a prayer like that if you want. Yeah, God saved us from hell. How could you not follow him? How could you not obey him? He's been good to you. Now fill the people with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill living faith with the Holy Spirit. Fill them afresh. Receive the Spirit of God. Fill me afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, lift your hand slightly just for the blessing of God. The Facebook audience, would you lift your hands right there, or maybe in front of your screen, your phone, you're watching. Also, just lift your hands right now. If you're driving, be careful. Amen. But we bless you. Numbers 6:24-26. Aaron's blessing upon your life. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace. Thank you, Jesus. We receive that today. Amen. Would we bless the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you receive Christ, make sure that you fill out that connection card in front of you. Let me know just that you've done that. Those are gold to me. We pray for you every week. If you have a need in your life also, we've been praying for, Norm and I have two that we received last week, and just different needs in the church family's life, and we pray. They're important to us, and you matter to us. And we want to make sure that we're hooking up with you and praying with you today. Amen. We're going to receive the tithe.